Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Oh boy, do we have a lot to talk about with Dr. Raymond Fittipaldo. Everybody loves Raymond. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Ray, wonderful to be joined by you again. And I'm going to start out with what I think is an obvious question. The Steelers would have a much, much better chance to win in Houston than Baltimore. Correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I know a lot of people want to point to the fact that the Steelers have had the Ravens number lately. Even knowing that one in Baltimore a few weeks ago didn't go their way. But if you're just looking at, you know, the way teams are playing, injuries, I mean, the Texans, you know, 2/3 of their receiving core is down. They're not coming back. Stroud isn't having the season he had last year. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think the Steelers have a much better chance of winning in Houston than they would in Baltimore.
Do you think the Steelers would win in Houston? That's my next question, because you mentioned C.J. Stroud. I thought in the Ravens game, not the Ravens game. I said the Ravens game earlier. He was not good in that game. The Kansas City game, I thought he looked very good in that game.
Yeah.
Do you think they would win that game?
I think it would be a coin flip, Joe. You know, I think there's something to be said for home field advantage. Houston was there last year. They get another shot at it. But, you know, the Steelers with Russell Wilson, you know, if George Pickens is right, if that offense can score, you know, 24-27, I think they could win that game. But, I'm not going to say the Steelers are definitely going to win that game. But, I think it would be much closer than if it was in Baltimore, that's for sure.
Ray, how do the Steelers have to finish the season to leave you satisfied?
Ooh.
Probably at least one playoff win, and then that divisional round, don't get blown out, you know, make it look like you're in it. I go back to, you know, the year the Steelers lost to the Browns. The Browns went to Kansas City the following week and really gave the Chiefs good ball game. I remember Chad Henne had to come in and ice that game after Mahomes got hurt. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to get to a championship game for this to be a successful season, but, I think the divisional round, you can't go there and lose by 21 or 24 either. I think that would be a sour end in my mind.
Ray, there seems to be some communication problems, to put it mildly, and I've developed a theory here just today, as a matter of fact, that this George Pickens situation could be emblematic of larger problems with communication that we see on defense, for example, week after week after week. The coach, the quarterback, and the coordinator aren't even on the same page publicly as to what George Right. Pickens did on that play, let alone Pickens himself. He's not on the record at all on that play. Is that little issue right there and the lack of any chain of communication emblematic of a larger issue within the building and on the football field?
I think you said it, Joe, when you said what Mike Tomlin says publicly. He doesn't tell us the truth all the time, and I think this is definitely a situation where he's not telling us the truth. And, you know, what happens behind closed doors, whether George was, you know, confronted about that by Mike, that, you know, remains to be seen. But I thought it was clear by what Arthur Smith said, by what Russell Wilson said after the game and again this week that, that route was supposed to be run in a certain way and it was not. So, are the communication issues? Yeah, but I think things are being handled behind closed doors in a much different way than they're being handled before the media.
Ray, where do you think things stand with George Pickens right now? And could tomorrow night possibly be his final home game with the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to acknowledge that's a possibility. Look at Antonio Brown was traded in March. Martavis Bryant was traded in March. The Steelers have a long history of dealing guys for draft picks, in the spring. And George's situation is not unlike those. There are issues there that go back years. He's had time to rectify things, and really he hasn't. So unless they're able to get that situated here before the spring, I think that's a possibility. I wouldn't give him away. I wouldn't just trade him for the sake of trading him. But if there's an offer out there where you could recoup a first or a second round pick, I think they would think long and hard about that.
Ray Fittipaldo of the Post-Gazette. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Wonderful coverage of the Steelers. All right, Ray. This was uncovered by our friend Dr. Michael DeFaba. This is unbelievable, actually. And a complete indictment of Tomlin and Arthur Smith. The Steelers have run 435 first down plays this season. They rank last in first down efficiency, averaging just 4.6 yards per play. Last. And Ray, to me, it's emblematic of the Steelers trying to be, the tough guy on the block here, the neighborhood bully. They use three tight ends all the time. On over 20% of those first downs I just mentioned, 435 of them. On 20% of those, they line up with three tight ends because they're the big bad Steelers. They've averaged 2.8 yards per play on those plays, including 2.2 on running plays. I would say that suggests that the entire sort of theme of these Steelers from the moment Andy Weidel came in and Arthur Smith has failed.
Well, I mean, Joe, that's who they want to be, but that's not who they are right now. And I think it's up to Arthur Smith to break those tendencies going into the playoffs. Listen, I'll bring up that first Bengals game on December 3rd. I thought that was a really good job by Arthur and Mike Tomlin to break tendencies and to throw on first down and, to put the game in the hands of your quarterback. And, maybe they're waiting too long. Maybe they should have unleashed that earlier, but they're fully capable of turning that around. That's not something that, it would be much worse, Joe, than if they had like all kinds of injuries going into the playoffs and there was no way to solve them. What you just laid out there is easily solved. Joe, go back to the 2005 playoff run. It was handoff. We got a second-year quarterback. We want to protect him. And then, boom, they let Ben go. And they
good point.
They were the Bengals game, they let him go in that game. Came out throwing against the Colts. They were up, 21-3 in that game. So, those tendencies are easily broken. And I'm not going to tell you that, Arthur and Mike are waiting to do that in the playoffs, but I think that's certainly something that could be fixed relatively easily.
Let me expound upon that with another stat from that story. On 22 first down plays, 22 of them, Ray and Donnie and City Limits, how could I forget about you? And Happy New Year in there.
Happy New Year to you too, and to you, Ray.
22 first down plays with three tight ends plus Harris and Connor Hayward on the field. They're averaging 1.3 yards per carry So that's 20 to me. Yeah. That's 22 first downs where you probably it ruined a series 22 times. That's unbelievable to me. The lack of production, the bullheadedness there. Again, it's we're the big bad Steelers. We don't care if you know we're going to run. We're going to line up and do it anyway because that's how we built our team.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not a big fan of Connor Hayward lining up at fullback. I don't remember many of those plays working or Connor, you know, blasting a hole open that sprung one of those guys. You know, Michael Pruitt, the same thing. You know, Pruitt isn't lining up as a fullback as often, but I would imagine that, you know, so some of the numbers are probably similar when Pruitt's on the field too. So, you know, their best personnel package might be just, you know, 12 personnel with Freiermuth and Washington in the game. Get your best skill guys out there. Maybe that's something that they'll do more in the playoffs. But I'm with you, and I think a lot of people have been on that train for a few weeks now. The H-backs, you know, constant need to feel like you have to get guys like Hayward and Pruitt and Van Jefferson into the game. I think all of that is maybe, you know, something that's not working, and they should really reevaluate that before they get to the postseason.
Ray, is it fair to expect even close to the offensive output that we saw on the 1st of December against this same Bengals defense?
I mean, it was cold that day, but it was pretty good conditions for throwing the football, Don. It's going to be 18 degrees at kickoff, I think, on Saturday night. I think chance for snow throughout the day. So, I mean, who knows in that type of game. You know, probably be a few more incomplete passes. It's not, you're not going to be able to throw the ball deep down the field like you would maybe in a game where, you know, the weather is a little bit better. But I think the Steelers, they're not going to be able to just go into this game and run the football and try to possess the ball for 35 minutes and think they can keep up with Joe Burrow and company. I mean, Higgins is healthy now. Chase has been Chase all season, and Burrow is playing at an absolutely phenomenal level. So they've been averaging 30 points a game. So if you're the Steelers, you know, you better plan on doing like they did the last time and try to get 31, 38, 44 points if you want to win this football game.
Ray, did Omar Khan fail and maybe fail miserably in shoring up two areas that we all knew were problematic coming into the season, and that is secondary depth and receiver depth? I mean, the moves were a Mike Williams here, a Van Jefferson there, a drafting a Roman Wilson, a Cam Sutton here. Deshaun Elliott was a great move. A Cam Sutton here. Whoever else there, what kind of job did he do shoring up those two areas, Dante Jackson?
I would think, you know, if you would ask Omar in a private moment, I think he probably thought Cam Sutton coming back would have been much more beneficial than it has been to this point. You know, so I don't really fault him for that. I think, you know, Cam was very well respected here the first time around, and nobody, absolutely nobody, criticized that as a football move when that was made. Now, it hasn't turned out great, but I don't think anyone could look back and say it was a bad move back in June or July, whenever that happened. But I do agree with you about receiver. You know, maybe they could have given up a little bit more. Maybe they should have gone over 28 or 30 million if they really wanted Ayuk. Maybe that would have solved some of their issues. But, I mean, listen, Ayuk got injured, what, 3 or 4 games into the season? You can't account for that type of stuff too. So if you give away draft picks and you pay him, then it gets injured, then you're probably right where you are now anyway. But I think on the whole, I agree with you. I think they're probably could have done a little bit more at receiver than they did in the summertime.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Ray, speaking of Dante Jackson, is he going to play tomorrow night?
Well, he told Brian Bacco yesterday that it's pretty much day-to-day, and that back has kind of been an issue for a month now. You know, he'll start a game, he'll come out, they'll have to go with Pierre and Trice the rest of the game, or there was that one instance where he couldn't play at all. So even if he does dress, Donnie, I think this is a situation where Trice and Pierre, all those guys got to be ready. I don't think it's the worst thing. Terrell Austin and Mike Tomlin talked about it when Porter and Trice came in that same draft. They wanted those long athletic corners to shut down guys like T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. And if they get forced into action tomorrow night, I don't think it's the worst thing. Let's see what Trice has, and you know, maybe you discover something going into the playoffs.
Getting back to Sutton, I don't know, Ray, if I totally agree with you. Nobody questioned the move. He stunk last year. Now, he was playing outside.
Yeah.
He was put in a different situation. Right. But given his severe off-the-field issue, combined with horrendous year, I recall saying, I'm not sure if this is the greatest signing in the world here. But I'll give you that, hey, he's coming back to this system, blah, blah, blah. So let's update it. Why is he still? Why does Beanie Bishop not play at all? He had zero defensive snaps. The last I checked, he at least won them a game. He has three interceptions. They're 8-2 when he plays. I'm not saying just because of him, and 2-4 right. when he doesn't. Why isn't he on the field?
Well, you lose versatility. Beanie Bishop can basically only play in the slot. Cam Sutton can play all over. They haven't used him much at outside corner, but he has dropped back and played safety, and
you could phrase that Cam Sutton can't play all over, can't play anywhere. Yeah. He's horrible.
But I mentioned this earlier in the week in an article, guys. Cam Sutton and Minkah Fitzpatrick are two of the smartest players in the Steelers defense. And I thought when Minkah spoke yesterday, you know, Minkah didn't talk after any of these past three games, so this was really the first shot we had at Minkah. He kind of explained some things that the communication, I think, from Patrick Queen and maybe Deshaun Elliott, it's not the same as it was in previous years. And I think it's hard for me to sit here and say, boy, Minkah and Cam are blowing coverages because they're too dumb to pick up the defense. I think the coverages are being blown because there's miscommunication and these guys haven't played together in the past. Now, you could say that's the coach's fault. You know, this stuff should have been cleared up in August and September. I agree with you. But it's hard for me to sit here and say, knowing what they've done in the past, that all of this is on Minkah and Cam Sutton when we know what their reputations are and we know how smart and how intelligent they are as football players.
Yeah, Ray, why are we seeing so many, really on both sides of the ball, but we're talking about the defense. I mean, we're going into the final week of the regular season. I could understand if it was 4 months ago and there were communication issues, even 3 months ago, you're starting to work the kinks out. It's guys who haven't played together a whole lot. But it seems like they are way too late in the season for these to happen this frequently.
Yeah, the way Minkah explained it yesterday, every team communicates differently. And you do have two former Ravens in Elliott and Queen who are, you know, in key roles in that defense, you know. Queen has the green dot. He is calling every single play. And Elliott, as a strong safety, is involved in those calls as well, in the back end, in the secondary. So, Minkah said it's not going to be an issue this week because they've added layers to the communication. They're now going to voice it, and they're going to do hand signals. So, you know, again, there's no explanation why this stuff wasn't happening in September and October and November, but at least it's being addressed now.
Donnie, we've buried the lead and welcomed everybody out there on a Donnie Football Friday. Ray Fittipaldo was on this very station yesterday, and the quote was, I'll tell you what, if you don't sign George Pickens, you better trade him, Ray?
Yeah, that that's what we were, I was talking, I brought up what Caboli brought up maybe a month or two ago. And, you know, it's just more and more, I'm starting to agree with Mark that if you don't have George under contract, he might be a little bit, even more of a headache than he is now. So I just think that's something you have to think about.
What could they get for him, do you think? And what would be the alternative? Maybe sign a T. Higgins? Or I guess that's a two-part question. What could they get for Pickens, and who could replace him?
Yeah, so we know what the – you know, if you look at Pickens the same way as Ayuk, I think a lot of the offers were like in that first or second round range. So if the Seahawks can get like a second round pick, that would probably be the price. And then obviously the acquiring team would have to have plans to sign him to a new deal. They wouldn't want to acquire a guy just for 1 year, I wouldn't think. So, you know, to me, guys, if he's not one of your guys that you signed before the season, you think it's hard now dealing with George Pickens? What's it going to be like when he knows it's his last season next year? That's what my point was.
I mean, I think that's a great point to make, but it's, they've painted themselves into that corner because they don't have the second option at receiver that they've had so many times in the past.
Exactly. Yep.
Donnie, may I engage Ray in a game of free association?
Yes, you may.
Ray, let's make this our greatest game ever. Quick questions, quick answers, even if it's one word. And a lot of this is sort of with an angle toward contracts that may be coming up. Who's buzzing me? What's happening?
That's Ray getting text messages, I think.
No, Ray, you're getting somebody getting traded? What's happening?
No, I forgot to put on my do not disturb. My bad.
That's okay. Patrick Queen, give him a grade for the season.
C+.
Minka, grade for the season.
B-.
Percent chance Najee will be back.
Let's go 10%.
Percent chance Pickens will be back.
30.
Percent chance Pickens will have a big new deal with the Steelers.
20.
Would you rather have George Pickens or T. Higgins on your team?
That's a tough one because I don't really know Higgins, what he's like off the field, but I'd probably lean Higgins.
Next year is the last year for T.J. Watt on his deal, and usually they sign guys going into their final year. A big, huge new deal for T.J.?
A new deal. I don't know if he'll be like the highest played player again, but yeah, I think they'll sign him.
Percent chance they would trade T.J. Watt, especially if they don't even win a playoff game?
1%.
Ogunjobi, next year is his last year. He has a $10 million hit. Is he back?
I think so, yes.
Oh, for God's sakes, Ray. When are they going to stop this with him?
Who's going to replace him, Joe?
Anybody. I don't know. Somebody else who can get a 50 grade from Pro Football Focus. I don't know. Will Justin Fields be back?
No.
Russell back?
Yes.
Dan Moore re-up?
No.
Jaylen Warren re-up?
Of course.
Who's your MVP of the league?
Josh Allen.
Who's your defensive player of the year?
T.J. Watt.
And who's your coach of the year?
I'd probably go with Campbell or O'Connell. I'll go with O'Connell just because I don't think as much was expected, and you have that situation with Sam Darnold and McCarthy there. I think got to give it to O'Connell, in my opinion.
Thank you, Ray. I have no further questions.
Joe, I want to jump in there.
Please,
with one.
Yes.
Because you asked him about Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
What price tag for Russell Wilson?
Give him an over-under, Donnie, per year.
$36 million per year.
Under.
$34 million per year.
Yeah, right about there. I'd say like 30 or 33. You know, not that you want to play hardball with the guy, but like Russ enjoys it here. Who wants to be 37 and starting over? I wouldn't go over 35 for Russell Wilson.
What if he stinks?
And I would draft a quarterback. I would draft a quarterback in the next year or two as well.
What if he stinks in the next two games, particularly in the playoff game? What if he has a Flacco playoff game? Does that make the difference?
Yeah, I mean, it would have to look really bad, but I don't think I'm going to have my mind changed at this point.
Thank you, Ray.
All right, guys, enjoy the games this weekend.
Thanks, Ray.
What a nice man he is, huh, Donnie? There was a lot there, wasn't there?
I think you guys did have your best game of free association.
I thought that was pretty good, and then you came in overtime with a field goal.
I wanted to figure out his answer.
That was really
good.
Yeah, that was great.